Mark in your Bibles this evening. Mark chapter 8. We're reading verses 34 through 38. It's page 1056 in your Schofield Reference Bible. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. We'll read the verses responsively. And let's stand, please. We'll read these verses, as I said before, responsively. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh. To at least give this hour our attention. Help us to prove in this small way our love for thee and our love for thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I do not know what your problems are, but I can tell you what causes them. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, the trouble with humanity, or the trouble with the human race. My text is, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. And that's those two words. Deny himself are the words around which I build everything I say tonight. And take up his cross and follow me. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the trouble with humanity. And I'd like for you to hear me carefully. Father, bless, I pray, our preaching tonight from the Word of God, the truth of God. Magnify thyself, minimize ourselves, and bless our hearts for thy glory. Amen. Just what is wrong with humanity? Just what's the matter with mankind? Let me first tell you some things that are negative, things I think are not causing our problems. Man's problem is not his intellect. His scientific achievements prove that. I still am amazed when I see someone type on a typewriter machine, my name, and I'm in a little town somewhere 2,000 miles away from Chicago. And they type my name on a little machine. And within a matter of seconds, they get back my flight reservation and all the information about my flight, even including the number of the seat where I'm going to sit. It's unbelievable. Man's scientific achievement. Prove that his troubles are not caused by his intellect. Man can drive along a lonely country road and listen to another man talk or sing who is 5,000 miles away. To me, there's nothing more phenomenal and amazing than a car radio. I mean, no wires, not plugged into the electrical outlet. And there you are driving down a lonely road somewhere in the country, late at night, and hearing somebody 5,000 miles away talk to you. I say man's trouble is not his intellect. Man can sit in his home and look at a box and watch a game being played halfway around the world. I mean, you watch a game being played in Tokyo, live, and there in his living room, there's family room, there's bedroom. He can see the game while it's being played. Man's troubles and problems are not caused by his intellect. Man can take the heart of a dead man and put it into a dying man and cause the dying man to live longer. Or if man needs to, he can make a heart to substitute for the one that God made and put it in a man's breast. And that man can live for weeks with a heart designed, manufactured by the mind and the hands of man. Man's problems are not caused by his intellect. Neither are they caused by his willpower. Man has more willpower than he's ever had. Look at the Olympic Games. Thousands and thousands of athletes sacrifice themselves, their luxury, their homes, their convenience, in order that they may participate in one race that may last less than 10 seconds. Man's trouble is not caused by his emotional nature. Man still loves. Man still hates. Man still is loyal. His trouble is not caused by his emotional nature. Just what is the problem with man? Here it is. Listen carefully. Every problem of mankind is caused, what I'm going to say right now. Man's problem is this. Man is unable to govern himself. Man is unable to govern himself. Humanity is not capable of governing itself. The human race cannot manage itself. Man is too big to manage himself. He is too vast for his own apprehension. Man can master the land and has. And the beasts that roam the land. Man can master the sea and has. And the life that fills the sea. Man can master the air and has. And the fowl that fill the air. Man has mastered speed, treasure, space. But there's one thing that man has not mastered, and that man has not mastered the ability to govern himself. The government of the people, by the people, and for the people is a miserable failure. Before you brand me as unpatriotic, let me tell you what George Bernard Shaw said. George Bernard Shaw said, democracy is a very poor form of government. But all the other forms are poorer. Man has not been able to master himself. Now, man is not constructed to govern himself. God did not, are you listening? God did not make man able to govern himself. It isn't that man doesn't govern himself. Man cannot govern himself because man was not made or constructed with the governing ability to govern himself. Let's take as an example two wrestlers. Here are two men who wrestle with each other. And one man can take the other and he can pin him or throw him to the mat and pin him. Are you listening? But man cannot wrestle with himself. Man cannot pin himself. Man cannot control himself. Man was not made to govern himself. Now, why? Why cannot man govern himself?
Man was not constructed to run his own, to run by his own design. He was not given the ability to govern himself. Look at all the parliaments in the world, and the senates, and the congresses, and the knessets, and the courts, and the kings, and the mayors, and the legislators, and the governors, and the city councils, and the aldermen, and the sheriffs, and the commissioners, and the judges, and the presidents, and the prime ministers, and the cabinets, and the rulers, and the czars. And yet, there's not one single nation on the face of God's earth tonight that is properly and adequately governing itself. Try any form of government you want to try. Try a republic such as we allegedly have. Try a democracy such as we say we have. Try a communal. Try a dictatorship. Try totalitarianism. Try what you will. Man has not been given by God the ability to govern himself. Nations do not know how to govern themselves. Civilizations do not know how to govern themselves. And individuals do not know how to govern themselves. Because there's no self-governing mechanism created in man. There is the power to conquer the sea. There is the power given by God to conquer the land. There is a power given by God to conquer the air. There is a power given by God to conquer beasts of the field. There is a power given by God to conquer the birds of the air. There is a power given by God to conquer the fish of the sea. There is a power given by God to conquer space so that man can be launched in a rocket and that rocket will ascend heavenward and man can actually put his feet now upon the moon and man can orbit the earth and do unbelievable things because God gave man those abilities and man has no ability that was not allowed by God Almighty. But when God made man, he did not give man or put in man a mechanism of controlling himself. And man will never rule himself properly. Man will never bring in the millennium. Man will never bring in the kingdom because God did not make man with that ability to govern himself. Now also, God did not make individuals with the ability to govern themselves. God did not make me to govern myself. God did not make you to govern yourself. In spite of all of the congresses and parliaments and rulers and czars and councils and congresses and legislatures, in spite of all of that, look at us. Failure has dogged us in our ability to govern. Why? Because man was not made to rule himself. He was made to be ruled. Let me say it. Man was made to be ruled. He was made to rule all that God gave him. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion for the work of thy hands. And it goes on to say, the sheep and oxen, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. Man has been given the right and the power of dominion over all of God's creatures, but man has not been given dominion over himself. In our text a while ago, it said, if you follow me and be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The word tonight to which I want to call your attention is that word deny. The word means to abdicate the throne. Abdicate the throne. God said, if you're my follower, you have to abdicate your own throne. You can't rule your own life. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. And tonight, unless he sits on the throne of your life, you're not a follower of his. You may be saved, but you're not a follower of his. Unless he... Now look, don't misunderstand me. I was hearing this morning a preacher, well-known preacher, Presbyterian, but a well-known preacher, and there's some Baptist preachers on the radio these days preaching this same heresy. Heard this man say this morning. He said, don't you tell me that a man can just receive Christ as his Savior and be saved. He said a man must receive Christ as his Savior and his Lord if he's saved. Now that is as much heresy as selling indulgences to the Roman Catholic Church. Brother, when you realize that you're a sinner, and that sinners are lost without God, and that sinners are under condemnation of God Almighty, and that God became flesh, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, took upon himself your sins and mine, went to Calvary, and on the cross paid the penalty for our sins, and died, and rose again after 72 hours, and you rely on that payment and that Savior as your hope for heaven. Bless God, your sins are forgiven, your name is written in heaven, and you're a child of God. Now, however, that does not mean he's your Lord. And this thing of lordship salvation is no more than a glorified salvation by works. I have no patience at all with it. It's a man-made salvation. It's a due salvation, not a done salvation. It's man earning his way to heaven by placing Jesus as Lord. Don't misunderstand me, though. I believe that every child of God needs to come to the place in his life where he abdicates the throne. And where he says, Jesus, you sit on the throne. Deny himself. Let him abdicate. Take self off the throne. Put God on the throne. A democracy is hell on earth without a theocracy. Man can rule the land and its creatures, but he was not equipped to rule himself. All of humanity's blunders, all of humanity's raging failures, all of humanity's fatal fevers, all of humanity's problems are caused by its attempts and failures to govern itself. Now hear me. I'm talking tonight to the businessman who has no thought of God ruling your life. I'm talking tonight to the factory worker who glibly and carelessly gets transferred from one area to another without any thought of whether God ordained it and God is leading. I'm talking to that high school senior who's not given one thought in the world about what the king wants to do, but what you want to do. You, as sure as God be God, and as 2 and 2 is 4, and the Pope's a Catholic, and this pulpit's made out of wood, as sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, until you abdicate the throne, young person, you're not going to be a success. And you're not going to have a life that is happy and joyous in the end. Oh, you may have a few excitements for a while. You may have some thrills just for a while. But I do not care who you are. You will never in this world be happy until you get off the throne, because God did not give you the power to rule yourself. There's no mechanism in human nature that makes man able to rule himself. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. Let me tell you something, folks. Your problems are caused by your running your own life. You get up on the throne, and you sit there as God, and you decide where you live, and you decide where you go, and you decide what schools you attend, and you decide what house you buy, and you decide what vocation you pursue. And you are sitting on the throne, and my Bible says you are not a follower of Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, "Let a man follow me, would be my disciple, let him deny himself. Let him abdicate himself. Let him get off the throne. Let him resign the throne room and put God on the throne room of his life." Now, who is to govern man? Don't leave me now. Who is to govern man? If man's troubles, humanity's problems are caused by man attempting to govern himself, and if there's nothing inside of man that allows him to have the wherewithal of self-government, then who is to govern man? God is to govern man. But you say, "Preacher, okay, that's well and good. But I can't walk up and say, 'God, what should I do?' and hear a voice out of heaven. I can't do that. I got something better than that. I've got something better than that. I've got God's Word. It's written down what God wants us to do." You know, I had rather have this than to hear God's voice. Because, brother, if I heard God's voice speaking out of the sky, I might be just hearing things. Or I might hear some other voice. Or it might be an airplane flying low. Or it might be a radio signal that got off course. I had 10,000 times rather have God's governing power in a book than a voice from heaven. Somebody said, boy, I wish I could live in the Old Testament days when God spoke out loud. Not me, buddy. I'd rather have this book than all the things that God ever spoke out loud in the Old Testament days. God says, you can't govern yourself. Are you listening? You can't govern yourself. Young person, you better listen to me. You better hear me. I've always wanted to do this. That doesn't make any difference. You haven't got the wherewithal to govern yourself. You have the right to do it if you want to do it, but you're not trained to be a king. And if you decide to decide where you go, if you decide to do what you want to do, if you decide to follow your choice of vocation, if you decide to live where you want to live, if you decide to marry whom you want to marry, you're playing with dynamite. Because you do not have the ability to govern yourself. I'm not saying because you're dumb. I'm saying there's not a man on this earth who lives, will live, or has lived that has the mechanism in himself to govern himself. Now hear me carefully. Man was made to govern the world, but not himself. Man was made to govern the fish, but not himself. Man was made to govern plants, but not himself. Man was made to govern the air and the fowl of the air, but not himself. Man was made to govern the beast of the field, but not himself. Man was made to control many things, but not himself. God said, I am giving man dominion over everything that was made up till now. But when God made man, he said, you only have dominion over that which already has been created. But God never told man to have dominion over himself. Now, here's the sad thing about it. The Word of God is God's rule book and law book. And God tells you what He wants done through His Word. Here's the tragic thing. Most of you don't spend 5 minutes a day reading it. And that's dirty sin. I mean, that's sin like murder is sin. That's sin like homosexuality is sin. That's sin like adultery is sin. That's sin like lying is sin. That's sin like cheating is sin. It's sin! You see, here's your trouble. You are an idolater. Sit down, but please sit back. You are an idolater. I said, you are an idolater. You're an idolater just as much as the heathen that saws a piece of wood and trims on that piece of wood and makes himself a little god and bows down and worships that god. You're an idolater just as much as, and I'm talking about fundamental people. I'm talking about deacons. I'm talking about choir members. I'm talking about Hammond Baptist High School students. I'm talking about Hiles Anderson College students. You're pagan, heathen, idolater. Just as much as the lady who takes that little baby this morning and walks down the Nile River and raging crocodiles open their wide jaws with their teeth about ready to devour that little child. And the lady takes that little baby and tosses that baby in the mouth of the raging crocodiles in the Nile River and trying to appease her God and making an offering to her God. If Jesus Christ is not on the throne room of your life, if God does not rule your life, if you don't live in this book and obey what this book says to do, you're an idolater. You've made yourself your own God. The person that says, I'll live where I want to live, is his own God. He's as guilty of much an idolater as a pagan on the South Sea Islands. A person that says, I'll work where I want to work, I'll follow the vocation I want to follow. Let me tell you something, high school seniors. You hear me. Every high school senior hears me. You're not able to choose what you do with your life. God has not given you the ability to choose. You cannot govern yourself. You have the power to govern many things, the power to rule many things. But there is not in the mechanism of mankind the ability to govern himself. What you better do is you better report for duty. And you better say, dear God, I know I was made to rule everything up to man was made, but I never was made to rule myself. God says, I rule you first through my word. And my word tells you what he wants done. My brother or sister, it's time you got in the book. It's time you got in the book. It's time the Bible meant more to you than a piece of decoration on the coffee table. It's time the Bible meant more to you than something you read when you're sad or after the death of a family member. It's time the Bible meant enough to you for you to say, "Dear God of my life, you wrote a book. I cannot rule my life. I must deny myself. I abdicate the throne. Put thou thyself on the throne and tell me what to do. Dear God, what should I do?" And God says first, "Check my letter. I wrote you instructions what to do. Check it." But what about the things not mentioned in the Bible? Listen very carefully to this. Every what the Christian needs is between those two covers right there. Every what? Now the next question, but there's no where here. God does not tell you where to do the what here. So He gives you the Word of God to tell you what to do. He gives you the Spirit of God to tell you where to do it. 90% of the people in this room tonight are idolaters. 90% of the people in this room tonight, you are the God of your life. You are the King of your life and the Lord of your life. And Jesus comes along and says, "Would you be my disciple?" Then the first thing He said, "Abdicate the throne and let the real governor sit on the throne." And the first thing He does, He shows you what to do through this book. And then He shows you where to do it through His Holy Spirit. Now there are two types of rebellion that are practiced. One is this. We put the Holy Spirit over the what instead of the where. Now listen carefully. Hey, look at me. We put the Holy Spirit over the what department instead of the where department. Now the Bible's over the what department. And since John 6:63 says, "Thy word is spirit," the Holy Spirit's already told you what to do. You never have to get on your knees and say, "God, what should I do?" It's in here. It's in here. But what you do in an effort to rationalize your behavior, and also an effort to avoid the book, you go to the Holy Spirit and say, "Holy Spirit, tell me what to do." And you feel some kind of an impression to do something that's contrary to this book. But you say, "The Lord led me." The Lord never leads you to anything contrary to this book. So what we do is this. God says, "Here's the throne. Now, my Bible governs your life concerning the what? My Spirit governs your life concerning the where." Now, the first thing we do is take the Spirit of God and put Him over here where the Bible's supposed to be. And the reason we do it is because we're trying to blame our rebellion on the Holy Spirit. "God led me to marry this unsaved boy." No, He didn't, because the Bible told you you're not supposed to do it. "But God led me to date this unsaved girl." No, He didn't, because the Holy Spirit already told you what to do about that. "But God told me I didn't have to tithe." No, He didn't, because the Word of God's already told you what to do about tithing. Now you listen to me. It's time the people of God became the people of the book. But what we do first, we take the Holy Spirit and give Him the responsibility of what the Word of God tells us. One, because we're lazy and not interested in examining, investigating the Bible. You better be reading it, brother. You're going to be judged by it. Because we're lazy, and because we want to have some way to blame on God our sinfulness. For example, young men come to me and I say, "What do you feel God wants you to do with your life?" Well, he says, don't feel any call to preach. That's interesting. Why didn't he say, "Don't feel a call to be a plumber"? They never walk in and say, what do you think God wants you to do? "I don't feel called to be a ditch digger." Wonder why they don't say, "I don't feel called to be a calf roper. Hallelujah. Why? Because they're trying to dodge the pulpit. Now the issue is, what does God want? Second mistake we make is this. We want to control our own lives. 1 Corinthians 6 says, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. These eyes that look through these glasses tonight are not mine, they're His. This mouth that opens while I speak tonight is not mine, it's His. This tongue that helps articulate my words tonight is not mine, it's His. This voice box that makes the noise tonight is not mine, it's His. These arms that wave tonight when I preach are not mine, they're His. This heart that beats in my breast tonight is not mine, it's His. This mind in my cranium tonight is not mine, it's His. These legs that transport me where my mind feels that God wants me to go, they're not mine, they're His. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And your job is to let the King on the throne decide what every member of your mind does and your body does. I say again, man's troubles, all of them. By the way, you're headed for trouble. You're headed for trouble as sure as I'm standing here. Until you abdicate the throne and put God on the throne. Well, how do you put God on the throne? You look to this book concerning the what of the will of God. You look to the Holy Spirit concerning the where of the will of God. And the Holy Spirit tells you where to do what the Word of God tells you the what to do. But your trouble is you don't want to obey. Now reason for a minute with me, and I'm going to be through here in a second. I know it's hot here. But reason with me for a second. Jesus Christ was God incarnate. Jesus Christ was very God. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Jesus Christ was the second person of the Trinity. And yet, my Bible tells me in Philippians that the secret of the life of Jesus Christ was this. He became obedient unto death. Jesus became a man, sinless, perfect, God, God incarnate, Son of God, deity, Trinity. Wait a minute. And yet, for Him to be successful in life, He had to be obedient. Brother, if the Son of God had to be obedient to be successful in His life, don't you think you're going to make it being disobedient? Somebody needs to teach fundamentalism what obedience is. If Jesus Christ had to become obedient to death in order to be successful, then man, sinful, weak humanity, not going to make it until man abdicates the throne and puts Jesus on the throne. He became obedient unto death. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been in this business a long time. I've preached thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of sermons. I believe with all of my heart tonight the great need for fundamental believers in America is to learn to obey. Obedience. Obedience. Dear God, I am not able to control myself or govern myself. I realize that You did not make me with that capability. I'm not made with that. By the way, the Caesars have tried and the Caesars have failed. The Alexanders have tried and the Alexanders have failed. The Ramses have tried and the Ramses have failed. The Dariuses have tried, the Dariuses have failed. The Cyruses have tried, and the Cyruses have failed. The Herods have tried, and the Herods have failed. And democracy has tried, and democracy has failed. Brother, we have a democracy, a republic tonight. We don't even know how to get out of debt. And we're so far into debt, we'll never get out of debt. Mr. Reagan's not going to get us out of debt. The Republicans not going to get us out of debt. And the Democrats not going to get us out of debt. We're so far in debt, America's going to have a financial collapse one of these days. And the following generations are going to suffer for our extravagance. It's as sure as the sun is in the east in the morning and the west in the evening. It's going to come. Why? Because man cannot govern himself. If the devil had
best minds in the world cannot govern a nation. Pray tell me, how do you expect to govern your own life? Your only hope tonight is to abdicate the throne and say, Jesus, I wasn't made to govern myself. I can put men on the moon. I can type and have it put on a screen 2,000 miles away in 10 seconds or less. I can take the heart of a dead man and put it in the heart of a dying man, make him live, and I can make a heart to put in the breast of a dying man so he'll continue to live. And all of that was given me by you. It was within my capability, within my potential. But Jesus, you never made me to govern myself. The only thing that's going to save this nation is if we ever had a president, let this book govern his country. Our president doesn't even go to church. I don't care how much he talks about abortion, he ought to go to church. The Bible said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. It's not that everybody lives in a dark house. Everybody's supposed to go to church. I don't care who you are. Talent galore. Beauty immeasurable. Strength incomparable. Brilliance indescribable. You are going to fall flat on your face until you stop and realize that the best among us has not been given. Back here in the back, listen to me. I'm preaching to you. You will fall flat on your face until you stop and realize that there's nothing in you that can govern yourself. And you were made to be governed by someone else, and that someone is God. And God governs you by telling you what to do. How does He tell you what to do? He tells you what to do in that book and where to do it as you come to the Holy Spirit. But listen carefully, I'm through. One other thought and I'm finished. The Holy Spirit never tells you where. Did you obey the Bible? It tells you what. Until you take the book and let that book rule your life. The book says do it, do it. The book says don't do it, don't do it. And let that book rule your life. You will never get the plan of God as concerning where you ought to be until you are obeying what God says you ought to do. Who's on the throne of your life tonight? God won't be a part-time king. And God won't moonlight on your throne. And God won't come to visit the throne room of your heart. I'm not trying to help God out tonight. I'm trying to help you out. I'm not trying to talk you into letting God have fun tonight. I'm trying to talk you into letting yourself have fun. I'm not trying to talk you into letting God be satisfied tonight. I'm trying to talk you into being satisfied yourself. And you're not going to be satisfied. You deny yourself. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's abdicate. That's first. Then take up your cross. Then follow Him. But you can't take up your cross until you abdicate the throne. And you can't follow Him until you abdicate the throne. So get off the throne tonight. And get on your knees and say, Dear God, come, be my King. That's the way it was meant to be. Father, bless the truth of this message tonight. Stir the hearts of our people. Oh, my soul tonight. I feel like a voice crying in the wilderness. I know that most of the people are not going to hear a thing I say. I understand that. I feel like a voice just crying. But dear God, I've got to tell it as I see it and as the Bible says it.